If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is After Hours, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. So Jason Dominguez, unfortunately, is headed to the IL. He was carted off the field today when he crashed into the wall, making the catch, and he was checked for a concussion. So far, the tests have come back negative. He does not have a concussion, but he is going on the IL with a left AC sprain in his left shoulder. And it's a low grade, apparently. This is unfortunate. Obviously, Dominguez, he brings a lot to the table. He kind of has that complete game, which is nice. And the Yankees have been, yeah, they've hit their home runs, but this has a different feel this year with this team. This has a different vibe. And Caballero's a big part of that. And a guy like Dominguez, who is fast and can do different things on the baseball field, it's not all or nothing in terms of a home run. It's unfortunate to see him get hurt, especially a guy that's kind of had a stop-start career and a player that I wanted to see up here opening day, along with the guy who's getting called up in the absence of Dominguez, and that is Spencer Jones. And yes, he strikes out a ton. But boy, does he have a just unlimited power. And he has been on a tear in the minors. Now, some guys aren't, you know, they can crush it in the minors and they get to the majors and obviously see better pitching. And they don't have the numbers that they have in the minors. We're going to find out if Spencer Jones is that type of player, but you can't argue with the numbers. He's played, what, like 35 minor league games? He's got 41 RBIs already, 11 home runs, and an OPS over 9. And he had an awesome spring, and he was a guy that I was banging the table for to be up here just because you want to see, and this was the same thing with Dominguez. Like, at some point, you got to say, is Dominguez a guy, the guy? Is Spencer Jones the guy? Or are they going to be chips that you use for trades? Because they can't be wasting away in the minors. And now Jones gets an opportunity, especially with Stanton hurt, with Dominguez hurt. Jones is going to get a chance to show everybody what he's got. The power we know is real. That's not going to be a worry. He's going to hit the ball far when he does hit it, and he's going to hit it over the fence. It just comes down to how many times he does hit the ball and whether or not the strikeouts, which has been a big part of his career, certainly his minor league career or spring training career, we're going to find out if it gets worse, stays the same, or if he can find a way to cut down on the strikeouts and be more of a complete hitter. Because the sky is the limit when it comes to Jones in terms of power. There's no doubt about it. When he connects, it goes a long way. And I understand there's going to be excitement to see this guy. Like, this could be must-see TV. And when you consider Judge, who is being Aaron Judge, which is one of the best players in baseball, and then when you consider what Ben Rice is doing, although we haven't seen Ben Rice in a minute, but when you consider what Ben Rice is doing and having an MVP caliber month and change here, if you add Jones to the mix and he just hits the ground running, it's only going to add to what is already a very potent Yankee lineup. But also a Yankee lineup and a Yankee team that does feel differently than years past. In this era of Aaron's, Boone and Judge, this team feels and plays differently. You don't see some of the mental mistakes that we have seen in years past. You don't see the defensive lapses that we've seen in years past. It's a little bit more buttoned up. It's a little bit more crisp. Now, one thing that we do see is what we've seen forever is the home runs, but that's their bread and butter. That's how they're built. They're built to hit a lot of home runs, and they've hit a ton of home runs. And they're going to hit even more home runs when Jones is up here. So he's only going to add to a major strength that this team has, which is power. But anytime you call up a player like this, who is a big dude, He has a ton of power. He could hit the ball as far as anybody that you could think of. And he just has tremendous, tremendous, tremendous strength. It's always exciting. And this has been, for the first 6 weeks here or so, a very exciting Yankee season, as they are head and shoulders the best team in the American League. In fact, unless it's changed a little bit today, I could get an updated records as far as the league goes. Tampa and Yankees, Yankees and Tampa were the only two teams above 500. Now, both of them are way over 500, but the American League, bottom line, the American League stinks. It does. And you have the Tigers, who are going to be without Skubal for at least, I would think, 6 weeks, maybe longer. Probably 2 months, maybe even 3 months. The Mariners have kind of been treading water. They haven't hit their stride yet. You wonder if Toronto or Boston or Baltimore could wake up. Now, Tampa, I'm not overlooking them, but obviously they give the Yankees problems. And certainly down at the Trop, which is a dump, but it's their dump, there is magic in that building, magic that goes against the Yankees, even though sometimes it sounds like the Bronx in there, because we know there's a lot of transplants down in Florida. But Tampa's a feisty team. They scratch and crawl, and they could give the Yankees problems because of the way they play. They put the ball in play. They make you field it. They're fast. They don't necessarily have a lot of household names. They certainly don't have a lot of resources. But they find ways to win baseball games, and they put the pressure on you. Speed, defense, all of those things. And if they can limit the home run ball from the Yankees, then the Yankees have to play small ball themselves. And certainly the first go-around against them, the Yankees did not fare well. And we'll see going forward in the return series if the Yankees play a little bit better against them. But Tampa's the only team so far that you could even look and say, oh, okay, they're a contender. Outside of that, it feels like early on, we heard this about the Knicks all offseason, it feels like almost like a cakewalk for the Yankees here to get to the World Series, unless a couple of teams start to step up. But the American League on the whole has been awful. The Central is just embarrassing. I think everybody is under 500. And you have the A's, who I think are right around 500. The Mariners are right around 500, game or two maybe under. The American League East, outside of the Yankees and Rays, is under 500. Some teams way under. So it's setting up not only for a fun summer with the Yankees, with all the home runs and Rice and Judge sort of going neck and neck for the MVP, if Rice could get back on the field, which I'd imagine at some point he will. Although I thought he'd be back. I didn't think he'd miss really any games. Now he's missed, what, like three or so in a row? But not only is it going to be a fun regular season and the team is going to win, I would say, 95 wins going away, it could be a very fun October. Because based on the current landscape, it doesn't seem like in the early developments that anybody is going to stand in their way. Which is great. I mean, you don't throw those back. It's not one of those situations where you're like, oh, I'd love to have a much tougher road to the World Series. No, you'd like to have an easy one. And I'm not saying the Yankees aren't capable, even in a tough road, of getting there. But for sure they are if the road is easy. And right now it looks like it's going to be very easy. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Nick in Dix Hills. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Loogie, big fan.
Thanks.
Just wanted to say, I mean, these regular season, you're saying they do not mess up, but when it comes to the playoffs, what's going on there? Like, they always make their mistakes. So, like, what are we counting on them now in the regular season?
Well, a couple things. So, to your point, the one thing that would scare me defensively for them is the right side of the infield. Jazz and Rice, that would scare me. Although you could go Goldschmidt late in games for defensive replacement. The pitching is way stronger than it's been in the past, and that can mask a lot of issues that you have. And, you know, with Fried and with Schlittler, Gerrit Cole's going to come back. He's going to be your third starter, which is really nice feather in your cap. And obviously Rodon is no stranger to a big moment and has had success in his career. So Will Warren, I know he got roughed up the other day, but he's been excellent. So the starting pitching is a lot better. You know the offense is going to be there. The two big things, though, for them, the offense will be there in the regular season. The two things for them in the playoffs is fielding, especially right side of the infield, and Do they have the timely hitting? Because when the home runs start to shrink up a little bit, can they hit in the clutch? Can they hit in the cold? Because that's something they haven't necessarily been able to do a lot of or consistently in October. So that's really going to be the test. But I just, Nick, don't see a lot of teams standing in their way. Like, I just, there's nobody really good in the American League. And now somebody could emerge. But right now, if the season ended today, they would have an absolute cakewalk to the World Series.
Right, right. Those are two good points. But we've seen that pass in the regular season. But once they've gotten to the playoffs, they've folded on no right side, left side, doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah, but when they had an easy road a couple years ago, they got to the World Series. And it seems like it's shaping up that way again. Right now, it could change. But even with the problems that they had that year, they still, like, cruise to the World Series.
Right. And I think we saw those deficiencies in the final
World Series. Yep.
But
yep. It eventually came to the surface.
I understand where you're coming from. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah, you got it, bro. Yeah, it eventually came to the surface. Absolutely. Look, the Yankees have their October demons that they have to exercise. No doubt about it. Because at some point, they're going to play somebody good. And they got to show, hey, we could beat a good team. We could do all the things, the little things, the fundamentals. Max Fried's got some demons in October. But as far as the next couple of months, this is a party. I know there's going to be Yankee fans, I'm sure, when it gets to June, because Aaron Boone tends to have a June swoon with the teams he manages here. The Yankees have had that issue a lot, including the year they went to the World Series a couple years ago. But I would enjoy it. I would, because this team is going to win a lot of games, and they're going to take advantage of a very weak American League. The Yankees are obviously a very good team, and very good teams take advantage of bad teams, for sure. So I think you're going to have a lot of fun as a Yankee fan this summer. So enjoy it. Because ultimately, it's all going to boil down. You know this. Oh, you should know this. It's not going to be a pitch here or a decision there by Boone in June or a mistake here in July or a booted ball in August. It's going to come down to what they do in October. Now, you'd love to win the division, especially if Tampa wins the division, because not a place you want to be down in the trough, because it does give the Yankees problems. For whatever, it's haunted in there, or I don't know what's going on, but it could give the Yankees all kinds of, and has given them, issues. So you want to win the division, and I think they're going to. And once you do that, you're set up with the bye, with home field. I don't see anybody standing in their way in the current climate of the American League. Now, the World Series, totally different conversation. But you're in the World Series, much like the Knicks. Hey, if it's an easy road, but you get to the finals, look, you take your chances when you get there. Who knows who's waiting in your way? Who knows if the Yankees really are built differently? Because so far they have been. And maybe this team is different. They are certainly shaping up to be the best team that Aaron Boone has ever managed. And Aaron has to answer for a lot in October as well, no doubt. Really, Stanton is the only guy that can say, you know what? I can look in the mirror and I know what I've done in October. Outside of him, there's a lot of people that have to exercise some demons on this team. And if you're a Yankee fan, you want them to all do it at the same time. Because if they do, doesn't feel like anybody's going to stop them. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But obviously the big story, the Knicks, as we get ready for a Game 3 tomorrow in Philadelphia. And if you're just tuning in and you didn't see the news today, OG Anunoby is questionable. He does have a hamstring strain. By all reports that I saw today, it doesn't sound too serious. It doesn't even sound like he will miss a game. There are apparently, this is Ian Begley who reported this, that there's optimism within the Knicks locker room that OG will be able to play in Game 3 or Game 4, meaning if he doesn't play Game 3, he'll play Game 4. So it sounds like, and it wasn't just Begley, every report I saw, because you feel the worst with this stuff, it doesn't sound like it's a serious injury or even anything even remotely close to serious. That being said, I would not play Anunoby. The Knicks are better than the Sixers. They're deeper than the Sixers. The Sixers have their own issues with Embiid, with injuries. I would not risk this. Unless the series gets tied up and you feel like, all right, we gotta win a game here. There's no more messing around. But the Knicks are better. They have a 2-0 series lead. I don't see any reason, as important as Anunoby is and as great as he's been in the playoffs so far, he's been the MVP of the Knicks, I wouldn't risk it because of those reasons, because I don't want to see a guy who's had an injury history and he's clearly dealing with a strain. Now, unless you tell me he can't, it can't get any worse, which aren't hamstrings tricky? And if you're favoring a hamstring, can't you hurt something else? Why would you run that risk? This is too important of a season, of a run. Look, the Knicks have all the ingredients to win a championship. Talent, chemistry, depth. They have all the things, defense, all the stuff you're looking for, size, a coach with experience, health. Now that Anunoby's out, you don't want to make it worse. So, for the most part, they've been very healthy and are still healthy. When all things considered, when you it could have been way worse for Anunoby. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Because year to year, you just never know what's going to happen. So it's right, as Aaron Boone would say, it's right there in front of you. So don't mess it up. And I think even though you could put OG out there and he could be fine, risk-reward. And I don't think the risk is worth the reward, especially when you're up 2-0 in a series, even if you lose on Friday night. And look, Philly's going to give their best shot. We know that. This is going to be their last stand here. If they don't win this game, see ya. Good night. Sweep. It's all over. It'll be a party on Broad Street for the Knicks fans that go down there and for all of us up here. But even if you lose on Friday, I wouldn't. And he could get out there and draft. I would be cautious because I think the Knicks can get by this.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Series without him. You need him for Detroit. You need him for the finals. You don't need him for this series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Steve in Montville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
What's happening?
I want to talk Knicks and I want to talk cat litter.
You got it.
Okay.
Which, listen, Steve, first, this is why I'm a generational talent. Could you imagine somebody calling up this radio station and saying the following? I'd like to talk about the Knicks playoff game, and I'd also like to talk about cat litter. We cover everything on this show. That's what makes After Hours such an amazing show. We could talk Knicks, Steve, which we will, and we could also talk cat litter. Let's start off with the Knicks, though, first.
Now, the Knicks are very simple. I wouldn't play Anunoby until and if the Knicks are in... lose three games, either this series or the next series, because hamstrings are very tricky.
You wouldn't play him unless you're down 3-2 in the series.
Lost three games. Yeah.
So they'd be down. The Knicks would, because they're up 2-0. So if they lost three straight, they're down 3-2. So I disagree with that. I think if the Sixers tied the series at 2, I would have Anunoby ready for Game 5, which is Tuesday night at MSG.
Okay, well, you know,
because it's a pivotal game. It's a pivotal game there. You don't want to, for any reason, have this series swing to the favor of the Sixers. Like at 2-2, okay, fine, we gave up the lead in the series, but now we have an opportunity at home, a place we've played great. If OG is ready, put him out there, take the series back, and even if you lose Game 6, you wrap it up in 7.
I certainly see your side of it.
Well, I'm glad we got to that point. Now, I have a sneaky suspicion you want to transition this conversation to kitty litter.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
As you may recall, before you even got the cat, yeah, I said pelletized litter.
Yeah, you were pushing the litter.
That doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere. Like, I guess you're using the paper or the clay.
Right, but no. Well, I know what you're talking about. You're referencing something that I brought up earlier in the show. We don't have an issue with the litter going all over the place. We have an issue with something else going all over the place.
Well, yeah, but you see, it
gets on his tail, and then we have to take it off his tail, and then it gets on the carpet a little bit, and we have to wash him. He hates water, and then we have to shave him. He hates that too. So he's having an issue here, and he got a haircut today. So hopefully, we're all good. But I don't think it has anything to do with the litter. I just think he was a little too fluffy, and it was sticking to his tail.
Well, I mean, but apart from that, if you're getting litter around the house, you know, this is much better. And you know, 40 pounds, $8.
Well, I understand that, and I know you're a big fan of it, Steve, and I appreciate that. You're very big on the kitty litter thing, and I appreciate it, by the way. I appreciate the recommendation, and I told you this last time, Steve. I'm not the decision maker. So you could tell me 100 times what to get. It doesn't matter. My wife makes the decisions when it comes to this stuff. Now, I could certainly suggest things, and if she finds it to be something that she would want, then she'll go do it. But she is the Amazon order. She's doing all those things. And quite frankly, I don't give a rat's ass what type of kitty litter we get, as long as it's not costing me a ton of money.
Okay.
So it's not that I appreciate you recommending this stuff a bunch of times. Absolutely. It doesn't go unnoticed. But I'll say to you again what I said to you last time is, not necessarily when it comes to me, but my wife, she might not want to get it, so we're not getting it. That's all. And I just end up paying for everything, and I hope when I see my credit card bill, I don't cry, much like I cried when I got the bill for my wedding.
Now, my cat, Tommy, had the same issue. We had a little bit of residue stuck towards
the
tail area.
Poop, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. So we just took some scissors and did a little snipping and trimmed it down a little bit, and all good to go.
Same thing. So we will hold him, and we'll do a little buzz or a little snip of his fur. And then he went to the groomer today and got a full-on haircut. Full-on haircut. And my wife... And we had not an argument, certainly not, but we had a little bit of a disagreement on this because of what was happening with the tail and the poop on it. And it was like a lot of it too. It was like all over him. And it got a little bit on the carpet, et cetera. And it was happening night in, night out. She wanted to take him to the groomer because I think he had to go there anyway to get a nails clip maybe or whatever. It was like he's getting a mani and a pedi. She wanted to give him kind of the full shaved type of situation where he'd look like a lion, so to speak. And I was vehemently against that. Vehemently against that. I was like, hold on a second. We both love the cat. But one of the things that make, and he's a very small, tiny, he's Aristocat. He's very regal. He's very small, very tiny. He's a teacup, Persian teacup. So when you shave him, if you were to get rid of all his hair, he would be quite scrawny. And a big part of his cuteness is his fur. And I think that goes for a lot of cats. Like, this is just me. I don't like cats that go with those haircuts that are all shaved down. I mean, they look like a lizard. That's what they look like. They don't look like a cat anymore. If you shave all their hair off and they look like a lion, what they really look like is a lizard. And I don't want a lizard. I want our cat. So we had this big back and forth. I'm like, we're raising a cat here.
You're going to be raising a dang lizard, homie.
I don't want to be raising a dang lizard, homie.
That thing is going to need bifocals, brother.
I'm like, our cat is our cat, and he's special, and he's very special to me, as you know. And part of that is because he's so cute and cuddly and furry, for lack of a better word. And I understand we have an issue with the poop and the tail, and it's all over the place. It's all over him, and he hates the water.
Cat.
But I'm not shaving or sending him to a groomer. That's the other thing. We're going to go to a groomer, which is expensive, and they're going to shave him? Heck no. If we're going to make him look the way he looks, which I think would be ugly, then we're going to do it.
Lizard, homie.
We're going to be raising a dang lizard, homie.
Lizard, homie. That thing is going to need bifocals, brother.
And then when he goes to hang out with all the other cats, he's probably going to get made fun of.
I'm going to turn you into a damn owl, homie.
And I don't want that for my cat because I have such a deep affection towards him, as you know. And I care about what he looks like.
He's my special boy.
Not only for me, but also for if we ever have any other cats over. And he's going to look like a dang lizard, homie. And that's what she wanted to do. Now, thankfully, I won out on this. He did go to the groomer. We did not go with the buzz cut. He did not get a zero. He got a trim. Yes, he got a trim. So now he's not as fluffy. And hopefully, I haven't gotten any type of text about it. Hopefully, when he uses the bathroom. And we have one of those kitty litters that are automatic. So all I have to do is hit a button.
Now
you do, yes, you do have to clean the bottom of it. But, it, you know, you hit a button and it kind of does all the work for you. And then, like, once in a while, you clean the bottom of it. So it's actually a great setup there. I'm sure it cost me a fortune, but it's a great setup. But, yeah, it's been getting on his tail.
Poop.
But I don't want him to look like a dang lizard, homie. I want him to look like the cute, cuddly cat that we love.
Lizard, homie. Bifocals, brother.
It's a little young to be out there gunning like that without a visor on, daddy.
Bifocals, brother.
You're going to be raising a dang lizard, homie.
Lizard, homie.
I know, Theo. That's what I told her. Hopefully she listened. Well, she did listen, actually. What am I saying? Hopefully she listened. Of course, I forget my own story. Yes, she did listen.
My wife is a dingbat.
There was a whole, yeah, she, well, I got a, she pulled one on me. We've set up the groomer situation, right? We have an appointment. This was, whatever, a couple days ago. So she was running late, as she always is. The real life Cosmo Kramer, always running late. She goes to the groomer and then comes back and she goes, oh, yeah, they were too busy, so they couldn't see the cat. It's like,
no biggie.
I think you're, you know what, and telling me it's raining. You know what on my leg and telling me it's raining. I have a sneaky suspicion you were just late, and that's why they couldn't see you. And you're just selling to me they couldn't see us.
Is a thing bad?
They were so busy. No, they weren't, but you were late. You were late. So the appointment that you had got passed. So then she went again today, but I can report back that he got his little haircut.
Barber.
I need a haircut, too, at this point. I got to get a little haircut. I wouldn't go to the groomer with him with the cat. Maybe we're going to get a daddy...
Barber.
Yes. A dad-cat haircut. But thankfully, I won out on that. I didn't want him looking like a dang lizard, homie. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jake Long Island here on The Fan. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Tommy. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so I just want to kind of gauge your opinion on something about the Knicks, because I mostly share confidence that this is going to be an easy series win. I'm just afraid that, you know, with OG out now and still unclear about why Mitchell Robinson missed the game last night, if he was sick or
he was sick.
What it really was. Sick. But, yeah, so I'm fearful that Karl Anthony Towns comes back, in the first quarter and gets, you know, two sloppy, stupid fouls very early on. And without OG Anunoby, we're just lacking size later in the game. And if Joel Embiid, granted, you know, I don't think he's going to play even to his best. But if he's, you know, back now and he's playing with any more agility, our lack of size, I'm just, you know, I'm afraid that we're going to get embarrassed. Or, you know, we're just going to get behind, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, look, I understand with the foul trouble stuff, and I appreciate the call, bro. And obviously that's a problem with Karl Anthony Towns this series, as it was with Mitchell Robinson in the one game that he played. And it's been a physical series. It's also been a tight whistle. There's been a lot of fouls. Mike Brown spoke about that in his postgame presser after game two, which means that he's trying to politic either for less whistles or more whistles in his favor, his team's favor. If you're down OG and Mitchell Robinson has to see more minutes and you go with the double big lineup, which they should, you do worry about the foul trouble, especially in a game. Look, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, hey, let's get some Philly some foul calls. Let's get the series back on track here, which, again, I don't feel that way, but there are conspiracy theorists who do feel that way. Is Scott Foster doing the game, the great extender? But obviously, if they're down a man, then it's even more paramount that Cat stays on the floor, stays out of foul trouble. Same thing with Mitchell Robinson. And then obviously you have the Hack-a-Mitch stuff, which they've already done in this series. So there's a lot that can be exploited here for sure. But I still wouldn't risk the idea of putting Anunoby out there. So this is the latest from Ian Begley. This is of SNY. Quote, and this is on OG. Quote, the general feeling on Anunoby's hamstring strain is optimism. He is considered day-to-day, but he's not day-to-day, as in he's really out for 10 days. Anunoby is truly day-to-day. So meaning, because I've talked about this before with the Knicks, when they say, oh, OG Anunoby's day-to-day. Meanwhile, 14 days later, he's still out. It's like, then we're all day-to-day, if that's the case. So according to Ian, it's more actual day-to-day than it is he's really going to be out for 10 days. Okay. I still think the Knicks are playing a little bit of games here in the sense that they don't want Philly to know what Anunoby's status truly is for the weekend. I would be surprised if he played in Game 3. I would be. Based on the fact that he has an injury, he did strain his hamstring. Whether it's not severe or severe or not, it certainly sounds like it's not severe, but either way, there is an injury there. It could get worse.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Or he could injure something else if he's favoring it. You couple that with the idea that the Knicks have a 2-0 series lead in this series, and the fact that the Knicks are better, they're deeper, and I think they can get by this series and win the series without Anunoby. All those factors would lead me to not putting him on the floor unless it's absolutely necessary. And tomorrow night, it's not absolutely necessary. Even if you get Philly's best punch and they were able to take a game there, fine. I think the Knicks will bounce back and totally boat race them in game 4 and then wrap this up in 5. Philly doesn't have enough. They don't have enough answers. They have zero depth. Embiid is, at any moment, any game, it could be another injury and he's out for the series. There's no way he's going to hold up for the whole series. He's already missed a game. He missed several the round before. He can't play every single game. You already were in a situation in game 2 where the Sixers had tired legs. They couldn't hit a shot at the end of the game. Part of that was the Knicks' defense, probably a large part of it, but there was also tired. Like, even when they had open looks, like, Maxey wasn't knocking down anything late in the game because they're tired. And I said this before the series started. Ultimately, the lack of depth on Philly, the attrition, was going to be their undoing. The Knicks have plenty of depth. The Sixers have none. Whether this series goes short, whether it goes long, it doesn't matter because Philly, either way, they just don't have enough to win because they're shorthanded. And you can't be shorthanded in the playoffs. You just can't. The Knicks, fortunately, unlike years in the past, or they just weren't willing to go to their bench in years in the past, probably more that than anything, they have depth. They can go to guys, like even Diawara they could go to. Like, they have guys that, and this is why you, and I said this a million times, this is why you play these players throughout the year. So it's not, you know, clearing the mothballs off them and throwing DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet out there when you're down in a series. You know, Diawara has gotten a ton of minutes. Shamet's seen the floor a lot. Alvarado, Clarkson. Even if those guys have fallen out of the rotation at times, they still got a ton of experience through this year. And guys like Clarkson and Alvarado and Shamet are pros. So whenever you need them, at a moment's notice, they'll be ready. So the Knicks can shoulder this type of injury. Not long-term. If this was something that bled into the next series against Detroit, then it would be problematic, for sure. And that's why I want to avoid any type of catastrophe here. And the catastrophe would be playing OG either on Friday or Sunday. Heck, even if they play him in game 5 and they're up 3-1. Like, I still would be cautious and probably not playing there. I really wouldn't. I would be confident that this team could win a game 5 without Anunoby in Madison Square Garden. I just don't want to risk seeing him get hurt and be out for the rest of the playoffs because it's going to be a very, 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 very tall mountain to climb if they do. They're just better at a team that has had way more success. Their record is so much better when Ananobi's in the lineup. And when it comes to the Sixers, I think they don't have enough. So I'm not worried about it. If this was the Detroit series and it was 1-1, yeah, I'd be like, if he can get his ass on the floor, get him out there. But you're facing a team in Philly that has a lot of deficiencies, that has injuries of their own, has a lack of depth, and sometimes can have a little bit of a lack of heart, gutlessness, the whole thing. And you have a Knicks team right now that is rolling, that is playing great on both ends of the floor, and has a ton of depth, and they are on a mission. Don't allow getting good news, which is what we got on Anunoby. Don't be careless with it. Be cautious. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. I see a full rack of calls, so I want to get to everybody. Don't go anywhere. We got a few more hours left here on the show. 3.5 to be exact. So we'll get to your calls on the Knicks for sure. Big topic of the night. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation. If you want to call about the Yankees and Spencer Jones, have at it. The number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. This is After Hours. This is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call for the next 3 hours or so here on After Hours. We'll get back to your calls in just 1 second. Knicks, Yankees, we'll mix the Mets into the conversation as well coming up next hour. WFAN and Corona are throwing a watch party tomorrow night as New York takes on Philadelphia for Game 3 of the conference semifinals. Join former player and gold medalist Charles Smith along with WFAN's own Positive Tommy, that's me, at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue in New York City. Corona will be flowing all game along with specials and swag for fans. Just like the team is on the hardwood, Corona is always smooth, always refreshing, and goes perfectly watching a game. That's Game 3 tomorrow night at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. Enjoy Corona buckets and watch New York drop buckets with Corona and WFAN. Please drink responsibly. Yeah, very much looking forward to that. So that is Game 3 tomorrow night, Friday night in the big city, the greatest city in the world, Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. It will be myself, Positive Tommy, and Charles Smith. I'll be hanging out for the entire game. I'll even get, you're getting Tommy in his element. I'll be there early. Don't worry. Getting me? And I love Corona. Love me some Corona. So I'll be there early, probably around 6:30, maybe even a little earlier. I'll be taking the Iron Horse, the Silver Bullet, the Long Island Railroad. So my plan is to get there in the 6 o'clock hour. And then obviously, I will be hanging at Buddy's the entire game. And maybe, just maybe, I'll be hanging there for After Hours. Never know. Because when I'm hanging, especially off of Nick Victory, I might not want to go home. My wife has no idea what's going on. I just told her I have an event. She doesn't know when the event is. Even if I told her it's for a Nick game, she's got no clue what time that is or what time it ends. So your boy's got a pass here. Not that I really need one with her. She's cool. She runs a loose ship. But this is your opportunity. Not your only, but damage. Certainly big time. This is a good opportunity for the Positive Tommy fans, for my fellow Nick fans, for fans of After Hours. This is your opportunity to not only meet your boy, this is an opportunity to hang with your boy. Have a couple brewskis. Enjoy a couple of Coronas in the greatest city in the world at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. That's Buddy's on 3rd Avenue tomorrow night for Game 3. Like I said, I'll be arriving early, probably around 6:30 or so, and I'll be hanging at least through the game. But knowing me the way I know me, there'll be After Hours. There's always After Hours. And I'm big on the street spillage, you know me? And what better street spillage than New York City? I'll probably be out till 4 in the morning, let's be honest. But you definitely want to check me out during the game for sure. Charles Smith will be there. I've never met Charles. Looking forward to meeting Charles. It's going to be a ton of fun. And like I said, it's going to just be awesome for sure. Big time night here. And where else would you rather be? At Buddy's on 3rd Avenue in the greatest city in the world, New York City, Manhattan, for Knicks playoff basketball. Knicks playoff basketball. And you get to see Tommy hanging out. You get to see what all the hype's about. We'll be having a good time, I promise. Big time. And like I said, if you want to stay for After Hours, let's get after it, for sure. I invited Connor. I think he's going to come. Because, number one, he's got nothing going on. And number two, he lives in Hoboken, which is not far away. So he could obviously... And I think he's got to work here during the afternoon. He's monitoring the newsroom. I know that's big.
Very important.
If the newsroom isn't monitored, it might, I guess, get up and walk away. So we have to monitor the newsroom. So he has to do that for a little bit. And then I think he has the ability to leave later and then meet me out at the bar. I think Gallo might show up, Anthony Gallo. So you have an opportunity to meet a couple other WFAN people possibly as well. But definitely me. You'll, and really, that's all you need. Because I am
Tommy, the beast
Loogie.
Thank you. And I am, of course, the life of the party, and I'll be in the mix, as they say. And I love me some Coronas. I love the Knicks. So it's the combination of that. And I love New York City. I miss living here. I really do. Because it is just tremendous. It's the only place, and I'm probably going to do this tomorrow, it's the only place at 4 a.m. where you could buy a slice of pizza and a Cadillac. So I might have a new car and a slice of pizza. I'll definitely be eating pizza tomorrow. That goes hand in hand. If I'm out drinking, the pizza is always... It's hand in hand. Or I find myself a diner. I'm either going to go diner, I go breakfast. I don't go burger late night. I'm a breakfast guy. And I'm not one of the... I don't need the syrup or anything like that. No pancakes. No, none of that crap. Eggs, some bacon, some toast, and away we go.
It's party time.
That's right. So I'm very much looking forward to this. Hopefully, if you have plans, cancel them and show up at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue to meet me and Charles Smith and watch the Knicks game. But even if you do have plans, cancel them. And if you don't have plans, I just gave you plans. That's why I'm Tommy the plan organizer. You know what I mean? I'm Tommy the life of the party. I'm Tommy the organizer. I'm Tommy the... When you don't have plans, I give you plans. I'm all of those things. That's what I'm giving to you, my loyal audience, whom I've never met. Whom I've never met. And listen, well, I guess I'm married, so I can't say this. But, well, no, Connor might be there. So if you have a hot sister, bring her too. How you doing?
I'll say hi.
Exactly. Oh, hi there.
Oh, hi there.
Exactly. I won't. Well, I'll say hi, obviously. But yeah, if you have a hot sister, pick them up. Let's go. Let's get it going.
Any plans or anything?
By the way, too, and we'll get back to your calls here in just 1 second. The weather is warming up, as you know. Yes, it is. Now, we're not at the summer yet. But the weather is starting to warm up. Tommy, temperature check. We've seen some days in the 60s. The other day was in the 70s. Tommy, temperature check. Looks like it's going to be in the 60s next week, most of the week. Before you know it, it'll be week 5. Before you know it, it'll be 70, 80, 90 degrees outside. And now that I have a car, I drive into the city. So I'm out above ground, not so much below ground anymore. When the weather warms up and you drive...
I'm Tommy the soft man.
That's right. Well, yes, especially in the winter when I put on a couple LBs. But now, spring is here, summer is around the corner. I've been running, I've been hitting the gym. And before you know it, I got a bro trip coming up in August. Before you know it, whew, your boy's going to be in pool shape. Your boy's going to be in beach shape. Your boy's going to be in bro trip shape. Your boy's just going to be in better shape.
So bring some of them chicks around here sometime, huh? A little march.
I will no longer be Tommy the soft man. But what I do notice when the weather warms up and you drive through the city, you know. Because we know a lot of people go hibernating for the winter. Hibernating for the winter. But as soon as it warms up, hibernation period ends.
What are you like doing later?
And that's what we're looking at right now. And I think tomorrow night the weather's supposed to be good. So it should be a fun night in New York City. Look forward to going to Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. And I look forward to meeting everybody that shows up. You could even take me a picture with me, and you could even ask me a question. But limit yourself to one question. I can't, you know, come on. I'm not a genie. So it's not one of the, one, that's it. That's
Tommy, the total package.
Right. So if it's like one, again, if Connor's there, you bring your hot sister, then you get two questions. But otherwise.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah, so otherwise, though, come on, stop it. Then I'm like Bradley Cooper in The Hangover. It's summer, I don't know you, leave me alone. So that's one of those things where you get one. I think that's fair. And the one question could be a 5-minute dialogue, but then two questions, I mean, you know, watching the game. So. But I look forward to meeting everybody tomorrow night at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. You know, there's a fella that I've been a big fan of for a very long time, and I was very much in favor of the signing of one Mr. Clay Holmes. And I got a lot of flack for it. Perhaps I framed it in a way that would, I suppose, irritate people. But I was just a huge fan of Clay Holmes. And for all the grief that David Stearns has gotten, certainly one of the things that he got right was recognizing that Clay Holmes can transition from a reliever into a starter and turn into a damn good starter. Like, he was good last year. But he didn't always go deep into games and seemed to you know, at times feel like, maybe he's letting go of the rope. Maybe he's not going to be a good starter. Overall, though, I thought the body of work in year one as a starter was good. Year two, and it was quiet, under-the-radar type stuff. Like, a lot was made about Peralta. A lot was made about McClain. A lot was made about Peterson and Manaea and Senga. And Clay Holmes was almost a forgotten man. Nobody talked about him. Nobody. I tried to at times, but I wasn't like banging the drum for, oh, Clay Holmes. I thought he would take another step, but it wasn't the sexy topic or conversation. But now here we are a month or so into the year, and Clay Holmes is the ace of the staff. He's been unbelievable. And you have to not only give credit to Stearns, but also credit to Clay Holmes. Not easy what he is doing, and he is now turned himself into not just a reliable pitcher, but a really good one and a guy that can go six or seven innings, which was the thing holding him back last year. Understandably, though, because you're stretching out your arm from going to a reliever into a starter. And now that he's got a year of starting under his belt, he can go longer in games. And so not only is he giving you length, but he's also giving you quality. And when I look at this rotation as a whole for the Mets, it's looking great, by the way. It's Peralta, which, okay, I get it. You want him to go a little longer in games. But you have a good chance to win every time he's on the mound. Same thing with McClain. Same thing with Holmes. And now Christian Scott, who's pitching his ass off. And I think the role that Peterson, what we saw earlier in the week, again, I think it was Monday against the Rockies, where you start with an opener and then he comes in and he pitched good. That could be where David Peterson settles in. And now that you sent Senga off, and in all likelihood, Manaea is going to follow him as well, I think you start to look at this rotation and say, the Mets have a lot going for them when it comes to their starting pitching. 888-808-1019, that is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. We'll get more into the Mets next hour, so if you want to line up, talk about the Mets, now is your chance. 888-808-1019. We will take your calls on the Yankees as well, the Knicks. I know there's some people that want to talk some football. We can always talk football. There's never a bad time to talk football here on The Fan. Again, the number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy here in prime time. The show is After Hours.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.